My name is Tabitha Steinbach, and I serve as Director of Connections Ministry at Crossroads Community Church. Crossroads is located in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, which is a semi-rural community of 50,000 people located between Green Bay and Milwaukee, right on the shores of Lake Michigan. Throughout the course of today, we hope to give you tons of inspiration and encouragement as you invest in people in your part of the world. Our goal is to share our experience in the hopes that it helps you take tangible steps to implement right away in your guest follow-up strategy. But I'm going to come at this a little bit different and share with you five potential pitfalls to avoid when executing a guest follow-up plan. With the blessing of technology and the vast resources available to us, it's easy to quickly set up a plug-and-play guest follow-up plan. But you can easily fall into one of these pits and regret it at a future date. This is the stuff I wish I knew 4 years ago when I was first developing our guest follow-up strategy. And especially if you are a doer or an executor like myself, you can very easily miss the forest for the trees and forget the why behind guest follow-up. Now, to give you a frame of reference, as I share today, I want to give you a little bit of background about the church that I go to give you a little bit of context from where I'm coming from. Crossroads is a 14-year-old church plant that started out in a local movie theater. We have since migrated to worshiping at a local middle school, and we usually see anywhere from 800 to 850 adults and kids at our services on Sunday before COVID-19 hit. I should also mention that we have a 3.5-year-old church plant located in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, about 30 minutes away, and they see about 140 people on a given Sunday. When I began my role, which was a completely brand new role on our staff in 2016, I started out quickly tackling what I would call low-hanging fruit to develop a robust guest follow-up campaign. We made sure to redo signage, we had the right teams in place, and we did a lot of retraining of our serving team members. We also began using the Texan Church platform in 2016, and it was and continues to be a key strategy to allow us to follow up with our guests and make sure we're keeping a conversation going with them over many months. While it took time to implement all these teams and this follow-up system, it was pretty easy to get things done, and I thought, whew, I'm so glad that's done. But I was wrong. There are always refinements and fine-tuning that you need to be making in your guest follow-up campaign. And as I continue today, I would encourage you to evaluate whether you've fallen into any of these pits and to do the hard work of fixing it and moving forward. Maybe you've gotten tunnel vision like I did, and it's simply been a while since you looked at your guest follow-up plan. Whatever the case, I encourage you to do the hard work of moving forward. Or maybe you're a pastor of a small church or you're a church planner and you don't have a guest follow-up team to help you with this. That's okay. We didn't have a guest follow-up strategy for 10 years. And despite that, God was still able to grow his church from a small team of 30 people. My hope is that you will be able to find one or two simple strategies that you can start doing right away that will help you move forward in your guest follow-up strategy. So, the first pitfall to avoid when creating a guest follow-up plan is to manage your guests with a one-Sunday mentality. And what I mean by this is that you should be interacting, engaging with your guest with the long game in mind. My team hits out of the park on Sunday mornings when they warmly welcome guests, make sure they get a VIP welcome bag, and we make sure that we follow up with them. But we were starting to get a little bummed out that sometimes our guests didn't return the next weekend, and we'd kind of give up on them. However, the reality is average attendance for a regular church person is usually once or twice a month, and that's a regular church member. We're not talking about people that maybe have never been to church before or don't even have a relationship with Jesus. A first-time guest might love your church, but the next 4 weekends they have basketball tournaments for their children and they simply can't be there. Don't give up on them. Keep the conversation going. Another tip related to this is don't feel like you have to share everything about your church in your first communication with them. That would kind of like be being on a first date and sharing your whole life story. It's kind of weird, right? Really look at your guest follow-up strategy as an ongoing dating relationship where you keep a conversation going for weeks and even months. Because honestly, it's going to take most people anywhere from 6 to 12 months to feel like your church is their church. The next pitfall to avoid when setting up your guest follow-up campaign is letting your follow-up software do all the work. Now, everything is automated today, right? Our guests are used to having email drip campaigns sent to them, and there is a place for those in your guest follow-up strategy. However, be careful that you also mix in thoughtful and meaning communication points with them in mind. Early on in my role, I was reminded that each person that walks through our doors is a soul that is precious and dear to God. Let's not make the mistake of relegating our guests to simply being a name in our database when the reality is their Heavenly Father knows every single hair on their head. One time I had a friend from the gym come visit our church for the first time. And he filled out a Connect card right away, and he was put into our guest follow-up campaign. And he was excited to get an email from our senior pastor and our marketing director. And then a few weeks in, he got the automated email from me. And because he knew me really well, he could instantly sniff out that that email was automated and that I had not written it to him that day. And he reached out to me, and he was just really honest and said it kind of felt insensitive and not personable. Now, I think we all agree that email campaigns are kind of a part of life, and maybe my friend was a little bit too sensitive, but it was a sobering reminder that most people want to feel special and significant when we communicate to them. Thus, one of the ways that I try to strike a balance between scheduled, automated communications versus personalized messages is to make sure to set up milestone reminders in my guest follow-up campaign. Within Text in Church, under automated workflows, you have the ability to set up reminder workflow steps. This is simply a reminder email that you, or maybe it's somebody on your follow-up team, receives that prompts you to do a personal communication with that guest, with the purpose of checking in and hopefully inviting them into a next step. Whenever I get these emails in my inbox, I pray for wisdom on how God would like me to respond and interact with this guest. For my guest follow-up campaign, I have these reminder steps set up at 60 days, 90, 180, 270 days, and also 1 year from their first visit. If you don't have a guest follow-up software, what you can do is write an email to yourself and schedule it to send to yourself in the future to remind you to follow up with this guest. Whenever I receive the notification in my email inbox, I look up the guest in our church management software to see if I can get a gauge on what their activity and what their engagement has been with our church since the last time I checked in on them. I'll be honest, you kind of feel like an investigative reporter when you're doing this work, but the Bible tells us in Proverbs 27:23 to know the condition of your flocks. So this is really vital work to be doing. Some of the things that I look for are, do they have any children? If so, have those children been in our children's ministry lately? If they're in a life group, have they been attending regularly? Have they begun serving on a serving team? Have they submitted any prayer requests recently? All of this info, which we track in our church management software, gives us a picture of their activity and their engagement with us and helps give me a sense of what might be a really great next step for them. If this all sounds overwhelming to you, let me assure you that I don't do all the follow-up myself. I will at times delegate to our staff or to ministry team leaders to reach out with a call, a text, or an email to invite these new guests into a next step and to check in on how they're doing. One of the ways that I do this is if I see a family that's been coming for a while, I will reach out to our children's director and encourage him to make a phone call to this family and invite them to be a part of the serving team in our children's ministry. If someone joined a life group and maybe they haven't shown up for the last 2 months, I'll call that life group leader and just find out for sure, have they tried to make a connection with that person and if they're doing okay. The key to remember is to use your team to help you initiate personal and meaningful connection with people that doesn't make them feel like they're in an automated campaign. This has been really helpful for our church as we've been able to attain about 70% of our active members serving in a once-a-month ministry and 74% of our active adults plugged into a life group. To summarize, church management systems and guest follow-up software like Text and Church have a place in our follow-up strategy, but they don't replace personal and meaningful connection. I'd like to encourage you to consider one thing that you can start doing, or maybe it's one thing that you can change in your current system that will allow you to have meaningful touch points with your guests that are specialized and personable to them. The third pitfall to avoid when setting up your guest follow-up campaign is having no idea when a new guest joins that campaign via a text keyword. Make sure when you set up your campaigns and you invite people to join via hello or welcome, that you are alerted that they joined that campaign. It's great that they're starting to get your texts and emails, but you need to know that they're now in that campaign flow. Getting those names is really helpful to us. I like to pass those names on to our pastors and other staff so that should they run into that person on a Sunday morning, they can put a face to a name. The other thing is if you're using the plan a visit feature in Text and Church, which is super awesome, you should totally check it out if you're not. It's really good for maybe your parking team leader or your host team leader to get those alerts because sometimes they come in right on Sunday morning. People literally fill out that form right before they leave their house. And so they're getting that alert and it lets them know that someone new is coming. If I see a notification come in on my Text and Church app that lets me know that there's a new guest coming, I like to respond right away and just say, thank you for letting us know you're coming. Hope you're having a great day. Let me know if you have any questions before you arrive. The fourth pitfall to avoid when setting up your guest follow-up campaign is keeping your campaign on autopilot. Trust me, the tyranny of the urgent makes this so easy to do, and I encourage you not to make the same mistakes that I have. When you add people to your campaign, you end up having people that are getting emails and texts at different points in time based on their first visit date. But let me give you two examples where this came back to haunt me. Several years ago, the day before Easter, I had text reminders going out to recent guests that said, "See you tomorrow at 9 a.m. and 10:45. However, on Easter, we have record attendance, and as a result, we have to change our service times to offer three services instead of two. To my horror, I had recent guests showing up at 9 a.m. and 10:45, but they were showing up in the middle of a service. They felt awkward. I felt terrible. It was not good. Also, be careful with Christmas Eve services. If you put a Christmas Eve new guest into your regular follow-up campaign, there's a very good likelihood they're going to get a message that says something like, "Thanks for coming on Sunday." Now, the problem is this past year, Christmas Eve fell on a Tuesday, and that message makes no sense to them. You've now tipped them off that they're in an automated campaign. It's sloppy and it doesn't feel personable. Also, watch out for unexpected events like severe weather or a global pandemic. When Wisconsin went into lockdown for coronavirus, I didn't act quick enough to look at our guest follow-up campaign and adjust messages or turn off some messages completely. As a result, I had people getting text messages that said, "See you tomorrow at church." And I had to quickly follow up with them, apologize, and said, "We'll see you tomorrow online for church." The bottom line, because of holidays, it's really important to schedule reoccurring reminders in your calendar to remind you to take a look at your follow-up campaigns and make any adjustments to the messages or even turn some of them off so that they make sense when holidays or unexpected events arise. While I love using Text and Church to remind me to do a lot of things, my favorite tool to use to remind me to do these things is the Butler PowerUp in Trello.com, but you can also just use your calendar app. The fifth pitfall to avoid when setting up a guest follow-up campaign is keeping your follow-up software all to yourself. So when I started using Text and Church in 2016, I was the only person on our 11-member staff that was using it. It was strictly for guest follow-up. little by little, we started to realize that text in church and these campaigns could have a huge impact on our ministries. The reality is that your guests are eventually going to reach the end of your guest follow-up campaign, and you need to figure out a way to keep the conversation going. By encouraging other ministries to use this tool, you ensure those guests continue to have a conversation happen. I'll share some of the ways that we do this at our church. Our youth group uses texting to communicate with our students because, let's just be honest, students aren't really good about checking email. I know, I have two teenagers. It's also been a really great tool to text and communicate with parents of those students as well. Whenever we're doing a church-wide prayer campaign, we will invite people to join that campaign via a keyword. And then those people start receiving text prompts that remind them to pray. If our community outreach team has an upcoming event and they need to recruit people to help at that outreach event, they'll oftentimes use a text keyword to send out a sign-up Genius link. We had a membership event this past fall, and we set up a campaign of sending out texts each week that would remind people of the homework that they should be doing so that they would keep the content top of mind over an 8 to 9 week period. And lastly, our staff has found using text in church to be super helpful in trying to schedule face-to-face and phone call meetings with new guests. It's really hard for people to pick up the phone and talk to somebody when they don't recognize the number. But if they receive a personalized text, they're more likely to start a conversation that oftentimes leads to a meeting. We had a young man in his mid-20s that started coming to our church at the end of last year. He was trying to straighten his life out and break free from addictions, and for whatever reason, he was willing to come to church with a family member. And over the course of those weeks, there were several messages where the gospel was preached, and people were given an opportunity to respond. And on Sunday, December 23rd, that young man filled out a Connect card where he checked he was a regular attender. Even though we knew he was fairly new, he identified that Crossroads was his church home and that he wanted more information about joining this church family. In fact, he even stuck around and helped decorate for Christmas Eve that day. Fast forward 2 months to February 25th, and this young man's name shows up in my inbox. You see, it had been 60 days since he turned in that Connect card, and this is the point where we do a personalized outreach to him. The problem was that this young man had tragically died 2 days earlier. So here I was sitting in front of my computer, looking up his name in our church management software. I'm able to see that when he turned in his Connect card, he was added to our guest follow-up campaign. I was able to see that he was sent several emails, text messages. He was invited to our welcome lunch, and our staff tried to reach out to him. But the sad reality is he never responded to those texts or emails. And we did our job to pray for him, that we reached out for him. We really did. But for whatever reason or another, he chose not to respond. So I'm at my desk, and as I'm looking him up, the song Sea of Victory by Elevation Worship comes on Spotify. And it has those amazing lyrics in it that the battle belongs to the Lord. And I found myself suddenly weeping as I had to click the button that would mark him deceased in our guest follow-up system. I don't know where that young man stood with Jesus. And honestly, the reality is, none of us can truly know what's in everybody's heart and how they've responded to Jesus. But the story reminds me that guest follow-up matters. It matters. Eternities are in the balance, and we have a job to do. Our job as a church, and in particular in guest relations, is to invite people, welcome them, share the gospel, and disciple those that choose to follow Jesus. It's up to God to do the saving. That battle belongs solely to the Lord, but we have a role to play. As I mentioned earlier, each person that walks through our doors is a soul that is precious and dear to God. Our responsibility is to be good and intentional stewards of the people that God chooses to bring through our doors. Let's not let anyone fall through the cracks or feel like they're a number by falling into any of the pitfalls that I've talked about today. it's important to be investing and recalibrating often our guest follow-up systems, because at the end of the day, people matter. Isn't it amazing that God gives us the profound and amazing opportunity to be a part of changing eternal destinies? We get to introduce people to a faith community that is crazy about Jesus, invite them to follow him as well.
Great stuff from Tabitha there, avoiding the pitfalls. And as I was listening to that, I wanted to throw in maybe a couple other additional ideas to help you guys. And when you're like, because things are going to go wrong, right, in life, especially if you're trying new things or really trying to get creative and really make a personal kind of that wow moment we've been talking about, things will go wrong. So a couple things to take away is prepare for things to go wrong. So Tabitha is helping us avoid the pitfalls, but we're ultimately, at some point or another, we're going to run into something that goes wrong. So one of the things that we did at our church is we had some gift cards. So I think they were coffee and maybe a local custard place that we had them set aside, and our hospitality team was equipped that when things went wrong, when somebody saw the wrong service time and showed up, and they're like, oh no, like service isn't right now. Like, what do you mean? Like, that was on your Yelp page. Hey, we're like, hey, I'm so sorry. We want to say we're sorry. We got a coffee gift card. If you guys want to go grab some coffee, come back, and then service will be at 11 o'clock, not 10:30. Oops. But preparing your hospitality team for when things go wrong can be super smart as well. And then also just, so if you're a lead pastor here, one of the things I would encourage you to do is create a culture that celebrates when you break things. And so especially if your team is trying to do new things and you're trying to get better, if things break, don't be the leader that says, you know, I told you that would never work. So at CMU, when we break things, we high five. We're like, that's awesome, because we want to have our team celebrate and really encourage them to try new things, to really be innovative and lead the way. And things are going to break when you're trying new things. So if you're a lead pastor here, I would try to just let your first reaction be, way to go. Like, our system crashed. Awesome. Way to go. Now, what can we learn? You know, so celebrate that. And then one final thing I would throw in here is one of my big aha moments in relation to what Tabitha is talking about is when I started to look at follow-up. So a lot of my perspective on follow-up systems for churches was follow-up is designed to get people to come back. And it is. Don't get me wrong. We've talked a lot about that. We want people to come back, and there's been a lot of strategies. But one of the big ahas I had was when the main goal of follow-up is actually to do this, build relationships. And then out of the overflow of that relationship, invite people back. So make sure, like all that what Tabitha is saying, make sure that it's thoughtful, it's meaningful. Make sure that the goal of your follow-up is to get to know that person. And then out of the overflow of that relationship, you invite them back to church. Does that make sense? So make sure follow-up, connection, meaningful, thoughtfulness, make them feel like, wow, they cared. And then out of the overflow of that kind of emotional feeling and connection, you invite them to keep coming back to experience more and more of that relationship. So any thoughts from the pitfalls?
I think Tabitha crushed it. I'd say the biggest thing is, right, is like Ryan's talking about, like celebrating like whenever things go wrong, right? Having some gift cards, I think, is a brilliant idea. I'm going to steal that at our church. But I think just like, and just be honest with people. Like, if you make a mistake, be like, whoops, oh, sorry about that. Like, that was an automated message. Haha. Right. Like, and just jump in. Like, there's a human side to it, and people understand that kind of stuff. So yeah. I think one of the biggest things is like, don't freak out if it happens. Like, just own it. We've done this so many different times, right? Where it's like, oh yeah, hey, sorry about that. Like, that wasn't supposed to go to you. Or we had a glitch in somewhere. We were working with a piece of technology one time that kept pulling a woman's first name and sending it to a bunch of men, right? So it was like, hey, Kelly, sorry that blah, blah, blah. Right? I think it was like ManyChat or something, right? And so we just had to keep jumping in. We just made a joke about it, like at our church. And then we actually ended up connecting with a lot of people. And they're like, oh, haha, like totally understand. I'm like, okay, well, see you soon, Kelly. Like, I'm just kidding, right? It's really gross. So I think just making a joke about it and it gives you an opportunity to actually jump in and have a human moment, right? And actually connect with them on a personal level.
And one final thought on this, because you'll probably have a board member say, or maybe someone on the team say, hey, this automation just doesn't feel Like, I just feel like, Pastor, are you just wanting to go out and golf more? And I think I can help you by having this answer prepared to say, no. The goal of automation is to free your team up so you can have more relationship and more personalization. So what you need to be able to be prepared is, if I can take 10 hours of my week and free that up, sure, I would like to go play golf more. Great. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take that 10 hours I would have spent texting everybody, emailing everybody, following up, and I'm going to take that. And when replies come back in, I'm now going to have some margin to actually reply back and forth. So what automation saves you goes back into the relationship bank. And now you actually have, so automation leads to more personalization, not less. So when you have the board member say, hey, no, we shouldn't be doing this. You say, hey, I understand that. It sounds like to me that your goal is we want to be really highly relational. What if I told you that this is actually designed to help us be more relational, not less? Then the board member is like, yeah, I get that. Okay, good. Approved. Let's move forward. So, hey, we actually have Jenna's coming back on. So, Chris, I'm going to kick you off.
Let me go get Jenna.
Okay, go get Jenna. And we got a cool thing that we want you to experience with us together. It's a little bit of a demo here. And so, Jenna.
Yeah.
So, everybody needs to get out your phone. So, hopefully, if you've got like a second device here, get out your phone and follow along with us. So Jenna, what's this?
Yeah, story? Well, okay, essentially we just want to give you the experience of what is it like to be a guest that walks in the door, sits in the pew or sits in your congregation, and then has the opportunity to text in, to get connected, to use the Connect card, the digital Connect card. So just imagine yourself, maybe you're a little fearful, but you heard the welcome talk and you're like, hey, I want to give them my information because I want to connect. I want to learn more. You're going to sit down, pull out your phone, type connect in and click send. And you're going to get a message back that then has a Connect card. And that's where you're able to fill out your information. Just like you were in Tabitha's church or in Ryan's church filling out a Connect card. And that is where the power comes in of all of this, is you get to see what it's like to be a guest, to experience those follow-up messages. And I think something you hit on what you guys were just sharing about being more relational. So as you go through this, and if you're using Text in Church for the first time, and you're loading all these templates, I just recommend you put your staff member or people into your account so you can see what it's like to get those messages and make them, personalize them. They're all customizable, so you can make them, like, I talk differently than other churches are gonna talk, right? So the messaging might sound a little different, or maybe our like next steps are different. So you can just tweak some of that stuff. So yeah. And that's the best way to even show it to your teams is say, hey, let's try this out. You have 60 days free, so you can try it out and you can give them a taste of what it's like.
I love that. You're gonna type the keyword connect. Keyword connect to that number on the screen. So you can go through and then you'll get a message back and then you want to follow those prompts. That'll give you a great way to experience, again, what that visitor experience is going to be like on your weekend services.